seen all the way around. Don't forget the Gullick family. If you're going to give something to that, because we're going to cut it off by Sunday night, and we'll go ahead and send whatever we can send to them, and regardless of whatever that it is, it's $50, $100, $200, whatever it is, we'll just send it to them. I'm sure that probably that with everything gone, and buddy, I mean everything's gone. If you see that house, everything they've got, I'm sure they could probably buy some new drawers or whatever else is going on. And anyhow, just whatever it is, a lot of churches across the country are helping with that. So I hope that you'll remember that. Don't forget also, too, that the sound system, I was going to tell you this, is going to be put in, Monday and Tuesday, Tuesday, Wednesday? Monday, coming up on Monday the 6th. Yeah. Is that tomorrow? Okay, yeah. They're on. She's on top of it. It's just a matter of trying to get them to where they can do that right there and all that business. All right, good enough. Let's get this thing turned on. How's that? Is that it? Not yet? Yeah, that's it. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, and I want to say it's good to be saved, to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. And we thank God for His grace and His mercy. And we certainly want to remember to be humble before the Lord and be appreciative for what He's done. Deuteronomy chapter 11, if you find the place, you're able to stand, verse number 12. In the Bible passage there, it says, "A land which the Lord thy God careth for, and the eyes of the Lord God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass that if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, in which that I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul, then I will give you the rain of your land in due season, the first rain, the latter rain, and that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in the fields for thy cattle, and that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves and your heart, be not deceived, or that your heart be not deceived, and turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." All right, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be in the house of God. Thank you for these that have gathered here. We ask your blessings upon them. Right every wrong in our hearts. Help us, I pray, to see but greater and better things to come. And may we face greater days ahead in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. I want to preach about Happy New Year. This is January the 1st, 2025. I remember whenever it wasn't many moons ago, and there were people trying to stockpile and hide food and ammunition and this and that, and thinking the world was going to come to an end. And let me say to you, one of these days it's going to come to an end. But right now is that you and I just need to concentrate on the fact that God's been looking at this life and looking at this generation from the beginning of the year all the way in through the end of the year. He knows where you've been, what you've been doing, so forth and on. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that years come and years ago. You'll find that good and evil exist. It always has. It does right now. It will tomorrow. And yet you'll find the choice is going to be you. You can choose good or you can choose evil, but God says to choose what's right, choose life instead of death. In the things that we're looking at, let me say to you in this lesson that's here, it's good. I looked out across you, and I'm not beating you up about it, but I remember used to years ago, preachers, you know, they'd invite you to want to come, especially on a good year, on a new year transition. And they'd want to, we're going to get here, we're going to sing, we're going to preach, we're going to pray, and then right at before midnight, we're going to be either praying or preaching the old year out and the new year in. I'm going to tell you, if you want to do that, it'll make you look just like you that have set up all night. And it's not one bit more spiritual than the person that wants to go to bed. Now, I don't care that you stay it up, as long as you don't beat me up about not staying up with you. But in the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find we live in a world that things change. I'm talking about all the time. The Bible said over there that in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3, don't turn there, but in verse number 13, that evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And let me tell you, the world's not getting better. It's going to get worse. I can tell you it doesn't make any difference who's in the White House, so I know that sometime that it's a little bit better and the economy's a little better and so forth and on, so it matters that way. But make no mistake about it, there's just as many hellions in there now as there was before that we ever cast our vote. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into it, that evil men and seducers, they do wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. One thing about God, though, he's ever the same. I was reading Malachi over in chapter number 3 and about verse number 6. Then he says, I am the Lord, and I change not. I'm glad God's ever to be trusted and to be able to know he's not going to change his mind tomorrow about what he has got it set for today. Let me tell you, right's always been right with him. Wrong's always been wrong. And make no mistake about it, that while other things round about us may be changing, I'll tell you what you'll find, that the saddest change you'll ever see, that you'll ever have. And that is for you to be a Christian, serving God, living for God, and one of your children turned to be a rebel and doesn't want anything to do with God. That's the saddest change that man could ever make. It's not going to shake up God one iota. You know, I've had people that have tried to be defiant against the word of the Lord. Well, I don't know if I believe what you're preaching or not. Well, show me in the Bible what's the difference. Well, I can't do that, but they're just mad and angry at God. And let me tell you, it's not going to affect God one iota. It's just not going to. And as a result of that, you're going to find out is that things are changing all the time. I was thinking about, as you begin to look into this Bible lesson that's here, is that, you know, when we stand up to face the enemy, and let me tell you, the closer the coming of the Lord, the more radical, the more godless, the more wicked that people that you used to go to church with now have rebelled against God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent. I want to tell you something. I knew that I was going to face a lot of enemies as I got older. I just didn't expect for it to be none of you. See? And I'm hoping you didn't expect it to be me. I've never had anybody walk in and say, you know, you've been here 30 years, 31, whatever it is. And you say, and all of that bit is, I would have done figured you'd have done changed sides by now. Well, foolish you for thinking that. See? I got to tell you, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. When I look at you, I expected you to be here. I expected these children, these grandchildren, these great-grandchildren, these boys and girls here that are in the house of God. You know, we've got in the day and hour that we're living in right here in the radius of the Nacogdoches County, we've got the greatest singers, some of the greatest teachers. We've got to guarantee you right now some of the greatest young men and young ladies. We've got some of the prettiest girls and talented. I know a few people up and down the road that they're handsome or they're pretty, but they're not talented. And I tell you the reason why, that comes from the Lord. We had a man one time years ago, and he's not here now, and you wouldn't know him and so forth and all, but anyhow, he bought him a sound system. He wanted to be able to be a singer. He couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. That was way back when Brother Rocky, you know, was leading the singing. And Brother Rocky's a nice guy. I mean, he's just a nice guy. And he'll let some nut like that sing. And not only that, he said, I'm going to tell you, Brother Rocky, this is not going to be just an anytime song. This is going to be a Sunday morning song. Now, Brother Rocky, you're going to have to go ahead and let me endure the rest of that. You ought to be able to have somebody that out of all the notes that are in a song can't even get one of them right. And try to follow that when you're preaching. Of course, God let us survive and rise up above it and all of that business there, but how things change in this world that we're living in, but our God is ever the same, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and the word of the Lord is never going to change. It's been settled in heaven, remember that? Number two is, in this lesson here, the Bible said not only did things change that we're talking about, but we're in the keeping business. And he said, keep yourselves. If you read over in Jude, in about chapter number, it's only one chapter. But if you read over there in the book of Jude, in verse number 20 and 21, here's what he says. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Somebody's going to tell you one of these days, you know, I used to do this and I used to do that and I used to go to church and I used to be faithful and I used to tithe and I used to, and there are a bunch of I used to beers. But let me tell you what he says. He said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Listen, do you realize and know that if you and God are not in fellowship, guess who left? I can promise you right now is you didn't keep yourself. But if you keep yourself in the love of God, that means that every now and again, you know, you're going to have to probably do a little bit of an examination. In the lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out there's something that we ought to remember. Look in Exodus, in the book of Exodus, in chapter number 2. And there's a passage over there that we ought to be looking at. It's in chapter number 12 and verse 2 in the book of Exodus. Now, in this lesson that you're looking at, here's what he's saying. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speaking to the congregation of Israel and saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, then let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to the eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. And ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. Now, in this lesson here, let me say to you that we're so busy, if we're not careful about all the muss and fuss that's going on in the world, that we forget about the most important part of the whole thing, and that's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Do you know that's the same message John the Baptist was preaching? That's the same message that's always been. Redemption's always been by the blood of the Lamb. It'll always be that. After John the Baptist had baptized the Lord Jesus and manifested him unto who, to tell Israel who that he was, is that the next day he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. It's always been that way. Well, I tell you what, we better remember the blood of the Lamb. And let me tell you, whenever you got saved, that's when you really begin to live. Now, if you're not saved tonight, you've not begun to live yet. You could. You could by just simply repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say to you that that'd be the beginning of life for you, and that's what he said in what we just got through reading, verse number 2. This month shall be the beginning of months. You know why? It's a month of redemption. Now, let me tell you something. Is that not only are you saved by the grace of God, but there's a witness involved that. You notice what he said? Now, if the lamb's too big for your house, get your neighbor in on it. Makes you want to talk to others about the Lord and about inviting them to Christ. And by the way, and let me say to you that, if you will, is that that particular person that couldn't carry a tune if they wanted to in a bucket, that doesn't make them any bit less loved by God. They just need to learn whatever their talent is or is not and try to work in the realm of that. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that you'd better try to guard your heart and your mind. Over there in the book of Jeremiah, there's something else about a beginning that we're looking at in chapter number 28 in the book of Jeremiah. Now, it's important as we look there in that lesson, because in Jeremiah chapter number 28, it's about verse number 1. He says there, and it came to pass in the same year at the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, that in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azor, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, Thus saith, speaking of the Lord of hosts, of the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. And then after 2 full years, if you read on down there, then everything's going to be coming back into normal. Now, I can tell you, Jeremiah, if you read that, he finally comes to the place to where he says, Amen, I would that would be so. But that's not going to be so. Now, isn't it amazing how that in verse number 9, look at that, the prophet which prophesied the peace, Jeremiah said, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall that prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Now, I want to tell you something right now. Hananiah took a yoke that was on Jeremiah's neck, and he took it off and he broke it. And Jeremiah, God gave him a message and said, I'm going to tell you, you may break a wooden yoke, but God has got on y'all an iron yoke, and Babylon's not going to give you up in 2 years' time. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that what they wanted to do is, Hananiah was one of these preachers in the day we live in that wanted to preach peace, peace when there is no peace. We're talking about, and we're even now, you know, and it's not a good, it's a touchy subject to be able to deal with, but I can remember whenever I was going to the public school. I can remember in Sheridan, Texas, and going to school there, I remember the first time that there was a black person that they forced integration, they forced busing, they forced us to have that. And they were the only two in the whole school that were black, a young man, a young lady. And I remember how scared they looked that day. I can still see it in my mind's eye. And what they were doing was is that they were going to force us in this world we're living in, they were going to force and try to get rid of segregation by integrating our schools to where we could get along and they could get rid of racism. I don't think it's working, do you? You know the reason why it's not working? Over there in the book of Genesis, God tells you why it's not. You're never going to stamp that out. There's never going to be a stamp. You may have to use letters, you know. You're not allowed to use the N word, the M word, the W word, or one of them other words and all. I just got to tell you right up front, it don't make any difference who you are, where you hail from. What you'd better do is know the Lord and the free pardon of sin and not try to bow up at God and blame what God had to say concerning races. And by the way, there's only three men that God said, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And let me tell you right now, you're either one of the mixture of these or you're either one of those bloodline. Shem, that's where the Jews came from. And Japheth, that's where the Gentiles, that's you and I. And then, of course, there's Ham. And, of course, a curse was put upon his son because Ham had already done been blessed. Now, I want to tell you something. Is that it's a funny thing that when you read over in the New Testament, no preacher's ever going to deal with it. But whenever you're preaching over there in the New Testament, and you find, and God makes a statement about Jews and Gentiles and the church of God. And he leaves Ham completely out of it. Now, why do you think it's that way? Well, I don't know, but you'll get in trouble if you try to iron that out and you look at that. But God will still ever be on the throne and everything will be running right on time. Now, we ought to love people in spite of who and what they are. I mean, the lines that have been drawn by the Lord, hey, honor them. But outside of that, there's no need you trying to change God. You're not going to. And let me tell you, when you cross God's guideline, whatever that is, if you cross the guideline of God, you'll spend the rest of your life trying to defend your position. That's just the way it is. I only got one amen, but that's the truth of the matter. See? As you look into this Bible, as we get ready to close, God said, Jeremiah said, Hananiah, you can preach peace all you want to, but I can tell you right now, you're giving these people a false hope and you preached a lie to them. That's pretty pointed preaching, isn't it? Last but not least, look over there in the book of Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, there's a passage that we ought to be able to look at real quickly as we get ready. We're talking about things that happened in the beginning of the year and certainly that that the record of Holy Writ gives us. In the book of Ezekiel, and it's in chapter number 40, I think, if I ever find it in this new Bible here that has been given to me way back when, I try to use it and break it in, and boy, let me tell you, I love it. I don't like to have to wear it out, but it's around the corner. All right, chapter 40 of the book of Ezekiel. That's in the 5 and 20th year, verse 1 of our captivity in the beginning of the year. Now this is a vision that's going to reach even into the millennial reign. And here's what he said, they're going to take and they're going to, there's a man, and he said the visions of God came to him and in the land of Israel. And in verse 4, and he said, the man said unto me, Son of man, behold with thine eyes, and hear with thine ears, and set thy heart upon all that I shall show thee. For to the intent that I might show them unto the ark thou brought hither, and declare all that I see, and so forth and all. Verse 5, he said, I want you to measure out a wall. In verse 6, I want you to measure out a gate. In verse 7, I want you to measure out a chamber. In verse 8, I want you to measure out a port. You can go all the way down through the book of Ezekiel there in chapter number 40 and find things they measured with a reed. Do you think maybe what God's trying to say to you and I, every now and again we just need to measure up things, just kind of check up, measure up, see how far we're off or how close we're on? Well, no doubt about that, that God's always got it in his heart and his mind to be able to get our attention. And whatever, wherever you're off, God can help you get straightened out. And wherever you're right, God will keep blessing you right on. You know, in the day and hour we're living in is that Baptist folk have gotten to where that used to, you could go hear a pretty fiery Bible message anywhere you wanted to go. But you know what's ended up happening, don't you? Is that most Baptist churches, independent included, but most of them included, they've learned how to make the world more churchy. And they're making the church more worldly. See? And I want to say to you that at the beginning of this year, what we ought to do is try to keep our eyes on Him, walking straight with Him, and exalting and magnifying the name of the Lord. For January, being the first month of 2025, may God help us to be able to walk with Him in spirit and in truth. Let's stand to our feet. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be in the house of God. Now right every wrong, and we'll thank you and pray.